Joanna Sokol's life as a paramedic took her to three different counties, the casinos and trailer parks of the Nevada desert, the cozy beach town of Santa Cruz, and eventually the crowded tenements of San Francisco's Tenderloin District. There are no clear villains or heroes in Sokol's world, only a group of patients and medics who are doing their best in a deeply broken system. She tells many stories of that time in her new book, A Real Emergency, Stories from the Ambulance. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Joanna Sokol to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. At what point during your journey, and as you say, you were taking notes much of the way, that you thought you would expand this and get a book out of it?
Yeah, no, as you pointed out, I've been taking notes the whole time. I've always kept journals and written down things that interested me. It really wasn't until the very last couple of years that I started to put it together into a book. And the story really changed. When I first started, I was just kind of writing down things I was seeing, war stories, patients. And then over time, as I got more experience and learned more about what the ambulance is and where we come from and what we represent in society, I wanted to try to write a bigger story about who we are and what it's like to be a paramedic these days.
One of the things that's fascinating to me about paramedics and ambulances is that, relatively speaking, in the grand scheme of things, they really haven't been around that long.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things that I get into in the book. The ambulances we know, it really only showed up in the 70s. And the book, it's not a comprehensive history of ambulances at all, but I did do a lot of research and I interviewed a lot of other EMTs and medics. And there's a bunch of stories from different periods of ambulance history. And I try to talk about what those stories mean and how it compares to what we do today. But yeah, they're really very new.
In the things that of how it compares to today, who would that profession or even volunteer position, who would that attract then versus now? Is it basically the same type of individual?
Well, you said volunteer, and yeah, it's really interesting. Through the last 40, 50 years, ambulances have been run by all kinds of different organizations. And all kinds of different people have done it. There's been volunteer squads. There's been paid companies. There's been government-funded jobs, fire departments, public health. And so there's actually a lot of different kinds of people who have done it. And the job itself has changed a lot over the years. But there's certain similarities that have really struck through all the ages, which was really fun to me to learn about.
Similarities such as?
Yeah. So... These days, I think a lot of people think of the ambulance as running these like really dramatic lights and sirens, 911 emergencies. You know, somebody's dying, somebody's bleeding. And it turns out once you start doing the work that you find out that those calls are actually a really, really small part of what we do. Only really every once in a while do we run a life or death call. It's much more common that we're running calls on the elderly, on the homeless, on people with addiction issues or domestic or social welfare issues. You know, we're going because Uncle Billy's drunk and he fell down again, or Grandma's got a tummy ache and she doesn't have her doctor. And so I always kind of thought that that was a new thing. I think a lot of modern paramedics think that this is new, that this isn't what the ambulance was like supposed to be for. And one of the most surprising things to me is I read and talked to people about older versions of ambulances and where ambulances came from, is that we've actually been doing that the whole time.
Right.
As far back as I could find stories of ambulances, I found stories of paramedics being like, yeah, we keep going on sore throats and tummy aches and putting band-aids on people. You know, what is this job? And so that was really surprising to me. And it was kind of fun to learn about. I found it actually really comforting to know that we're part of something bigger, you know?
When you call, and I do find this aspect of it really fascinating, of how If I call my doctor today and I have a sore throat, and they'll say, we can't get you in until calendar year 2027. However, if this is important, please dial 911.
Yeah.
So they immediately throw it to you, and you write about this in the book, but I'm interested in this idea of this, because you used this word a moment ago, the system. So is this the system, what is the system? I mean, how do ambulances fit into that quote unquote system?
Yeah, there sort of is no system these days. It's kind of a big giant mess. And there's a bunch of different entities, you know, companies and public health departments and hospitals and ambulances and fire departments that are all trying to do their best. They're working together well in some cases and in other cases not. And as you mentioned, that's actually a perfect example of what we end up doing all day. It's really hard to get in and see a primary care doctor these days if you're not very wealthy. It's really, really hard to go, you know, just take your kid to the doc. And so people end up calling us because whether or not we have the right tools, whether or not we're going to cost money, we're going to show up. We will be at your house pretty much immediately in any circumstance that you call us. And we don't really have the tools to deal with a lot of those issues. You know, I can't prescribe you medication for a cold or flu. I can't write you a referral to see a specialist, but I have some medical knowledge. And so people end up calling us for everything that they can't get a hold of a doctor or a nurse for, like you pointed out. And the system as we have it today is basically just a bunch of different entities that are all trying to kind of do something, but it's a real patchwork. And there's really nothing on an organized level that takes care of most Americans. And so we end up providing that safety net. We're kind of the last available resource for folks.
In a sense of, I don't want to seem heartless here, and I certainly I don't mean this. I think people will understand how I mean it. But if most municipalities have limited access to ambulance and to people who are paramedics and ambulance crew. And so if a call is made, and as you said, grandma has a tummy ache versus Bob just fell off the roof, then where is that triage of allowing that system to take place?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a huge issue that we struggle with all day and all night, every day and every night. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is just kind of what it feels like as a paramedic when you're sitting there with grandma who's got a tummy ache, and it's this really nice family and you want to take care of them in whatever way that you can, but you can hear your radio on your hip going off, and you're absolutely right. Bob did just fall off a building. You know, somebody just got shot. There might be a baby that can't breathe somewhere. And we never really have enough resources. I've worked in three different counties, two private, one public, and at none of those counties did we have enough staffing. We never did. And I think that's pretty universal almost everywhere, everyone that I talk to and everywhere that I've read about. And it's really a struggle. And one of the things that the book talks about is what happens when you start to lose your compassion over time, you know, how you continue to be empathetic and be compassionate even when the system is falling apart around you and it kind of feels like everything's breaking. And that's just one of the things that's really hard about the job. And I don't think that we've figured out a good way to deal with it yet, you know, to be able to triage those calls. Because one of the like base truths about the ambulance is that we will show up no matter what. Every time you call us, we will come. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are nice or mean, you know, no matter what your emergency is, we don't ask you on the phone, well, is this really legit? And then decide whether to send someone. We just send someone every single time. And I think there's something really beautiful in that and really honorable. The fact that like, no matter who asks us for help, we're going to show up, but it does make it really, really hard to figure out how to staff our ambulances and figure out how to triage calls and how to make sure that we're still available for people when they are dying more quickly.
The name of the new book is A Real Emergency, Stories from the Ambulance, and Joanna Sokol is our guest this morning. Everything I know about ambulance care and paramedics is from the 1970s TV show Emergency.
Yeah, Johnny and Roy.
That's right, Johnny and Roy. And that was going back to an earlier question. I mean, that was really on the forefront because that was the 70s, and this was just becoming a thing of sending. And it was almost like I can't imagine a better PR campaign for ambulance service than this weekly show that was on for seven seasons that would show people in, and I think, a very positive light of what an ambulance squad could actually accomplish in a day.
Yeah, no, 100%. I actually talk a little bit about the show in the book. Johnny and Roy have a cameo. For any listeners who didn't watch the show, there's these two sort of cynical but funny, really adorable hunky paramedics named Johnny and Roy who run around and save the day. And the show is actually credited with bringing the modern version of the ambulance to a lot of more rural parts of America. When that show came out, there was a couple of ambulance programs, mostly in cities, and that had paramedics that were really well trained. And before that, ambulances tended to be run by funeral homes or police departments, and the people that drove the ambulance didn't have any training in medicine. They would just throw you on the bus and get you to the hospital. And then all of a sudden, everybody's watching this TV show with these two good-looking dudes who would show up and do medical care at the scene. And a lot of towns and more rural areas across America were like, wait, we want that. Yeah. And so that show actually had a huge impact on modern ambulance work. And there's some really fun stories about that in the book that I loved learning about.
Yeah, good stuff. And I think I'm on my second go around now watching it, binging it, and it really holds up, I think, which is good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about your personal, what you get out of this. What is it that the personal satisfaction that you got out of being in an ambulance?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was incredibly hard work. It was really frustrating. It took a huge toll on my body and mind. You know, I have a lot of permanent injuries because of the work conditions. We don't have stations in most ambulance systems. We don't get to get out and stretch our legs the way that firefighters do. We're usually in the van for 12 or 16 hours, and so my back is really messed up. But I loved it. I really loved it. I can't imagine having anything else done, doing anything else with my life. You're out there in this really, really immediate way, you know, on your hands and on your knees sometimes, helping people in the moment with your hands. And you're helping everybody from every single walk of life. And I really loved it. It was amazing. You know, I can't imagine having done anything else. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
In many cases, certainly not all, but in many cases, you're going right into people's homes. I mean, you talk about the intimacy of that. Or you're even into their cars or whatever the situation is, and they're in distress, and you're going right there and face to face. There's as you noted a moment ago, right away. There's no wait. You're there.
Yeah. No, I think one of the favorite parts of the job for me, and I think for a lot of medics, is, as you said, we're very much out in the world. We're not in a hospital. We're not in a clinic. It's not a controlled environment. We go into penthouse apartments, you know, in really fancy buildings. We go into mansions. We go in dumpsters behind the alleyways. We go into trailers. You know, I've been in the back of like a commercial kitchen for a casino. We get to see so many different types of life. And the job is really intimate. You know, we're walking into people's homes, in their bathrooms and their bedrooms. And there's a lot of medications that you have to keep in the fridge, right? And so we have to go look in people's refrigerators and we see, you know, what they were eating for dinner that day. We have to look in their closets to find their meds or a certain pair of slippers that they want to bring with them to the hospital or the bathrobe. And so now you're pushing through people's clothes and looking in their photos and and we get this really incredibly intimate view of so many different kinds of people's lives. You know, I think it's a really interesting way to get to know a city. I work in Reno, Santa Cruz, and San Francisco, and to this day, when I drive around those cities, I know what the insides of houses and apartment buildings look like. You know, I know what different neighborhoods look like and what the different types of people that live there, what ways they live in. And it's a really incredible view of humanity and of the people and the society that we live in. You know, you get to see a really interesting side of it.
So let me end with this question. What do you think, if you eliminated stupidity, what percentage of your caseload would decrease?
I don't know, 90?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
You know, we're such a silly species.
People are dumb.
And we get sick, we make bad decisions, we hurt each other, we hurt ourselves, you know, and as paramedics, that's our job security.
Well, the book is just delightful, and the stories are great, and you tell them so beautifully. The name of the book is A Real Emergency, Stories from the Ambulance. And Joanna Sokol, I thank you so much for being with us, and I thank you for your great service, and I thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's really great. Appreciate
you
guys.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.